6273. Thanks.
Support for WERU comes from our listeners and from the Deer Isle Artists Association, an organization of over 100 artists of the Blue Hill Peninsula, Deer Isle, Stonington, and elsewhere in Maine. The DIAA Gallery is located at 15 Main Street in Deer Isle Village. Exhibits are presented every 2 weeks, featuring paintings, sculptures, photographs, prints, cards, and books by their members. DeerIsleArtists.com or Facebook for more information.
The time's 10 o'clock and you are tuned to WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill, 99.9 Bangor, and streaming online at WERU.org. Maine Arts Alive with your host Michael Donahue is up next.
And welcome one and all to Maine Arts Alive. I am Michael Donahue, your host for the hour coming up. About halfway through, we will open the phone lines and you can join in the conversation, which is what I want it to be, a conversation. We've got a lot going on today, and we've got three really key people sitting around the table working to heighten awareness of and improve the arts as it fits into educational programs across the state. Let me introduce first Julie Richard, who is the Executive Director of the Maine Arts Commission. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, Michael. Great to be here.
Yes. Julie is becoming, we're going to have a coat rack here at the studio for Julie, which is great because this is the way it should be. This radio station is for the community, and boy, if anything is part of the community, it's arts. After that diatribe, R.G. Nestor, who is the Director of Arts Education for the Maine Arts Commission.
Good morning, Michael. It's nice to be here.
Indeed. And someone I haven't spoken to before, but look forward to speaking to today, Catherine Ring, who is the Executive Director of the New England Institute for Teacher Education. Welcome.
Hi, Michael. Glad to be here.
Good. Okay, as I say, we've got a lot to cover today. There's a Pledge Week going on, and there's a book to be given away here if your name is chosen. And on top of it, there is our conversation around census. Can you elaborate what that's all about, Julie?
Sure. Actually, we are in the midst of conducting an arts education census of our state. And this is one of the elements of our recently completed cultural plan. As you know, Michael, because we were here talking about the cultural plan a few months back, we've got five key priorities of the cultural plan, and arts education and lifelong learning are one of those major elements. So the census is something that was actually conducted in 2009 originally, and we got 36% participation across the state, which we thought was pretty darn good. Well, in order for us to really get an accurate look at where the arts education haves and the arts education have-nots are across the state, we really are aiming for 100% participation this time.
What do you mean haves and have-nots?
So there are schools that have more arts education than others. Some schools have music, theater, dance, and visual arts in their schools. Some have nothing. Some only have after-school programs. Some have maybe an artist residency once a year. Some just have music and visual arts. So it's very inconsistent, and really our goal with this is to find out who has what and who doesn't.
All right. Suppose you find out that X school doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, that's a great question, actually. One of the big issues with this is in my past, there are several states that I worked in where there were initiatives at the state level to conduct arts education plans across the state. And for instance, in South Carolina, they have a very extensive arts education program. And the Department of Ed, actually, in South Carolina, directed money specifically so that schools and districts could create arts education plans for those districts to strengthen the arts within the districts and schools. And that funding was available for that. So what they found was that these plans would then become policy, and then the policy would be very hard to shake if there were budget issues, for instance. So the idea is to get our school districts to really be committed to arts education through the plan, so that if there might be an issue, they're less willing to cut, for one thing. But it's also a guide to help strengthen the arts within those districts. So if they have visual arts and music, for instance, and the goal is really within that district, which we would find out through the planning process, to also add dance and drama. How do we go about doing that, and also the steps then to make that happen? So they're tailored to each district or each school, depending on what the goals are within those districts or schools.
So, Archie, this is, at first when I was hearing this, it sounded like kind of a lockstep program, where everybody has to do the same thing. And now, from what you're saying, it's more open to interpretation. How do you avoid people saying, well, it says here on the piece of paper, I've got to have 6 hours of stuff, of this or that? How do you work with that kind of mindset?
We learned a lot from the 2009 census, the survey collection, and we streamlined the questions so we really get at the heart of what they have or perhaps what they don't have, as Julie said. One of the things we know the survey will do is raise awareness. We've asked the principals to complete the survey, and in many cases they're communicating with their staff who teach art or music or perhaps dance and theater. And from that, then we know that that conversation that they may be having about answering these questions will raise awareness and hopefully a conversation around what's in place. And we live in a local control state, as you know, so the locals really get to determine how they will carry out the law around the requirement of having visual and performing arts education in schools in Maine.
So this is going to require some education.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think we've done a really good job working together with organizations throughout the state that are committed to arts education. And everyone can play a part in that education piece. And as you know, with our Maine Arts Leadership Initiative, we're working with teachers throughout the state, and it's always moving forward to improve and build upon the good work and outstanding work that arts teachers do across our state. We're really fortunate that we have quality arts educators in schools throughout the state.
Catherine, I saw your ears pick up as we mentioned education, because that's what you're group is all about, and the way it defines it, you define it on your website, is the Institute for Teacher Education is committed to helping teachers get excellent quality professional development. And this goes beyond just teachers. It includes principals. It could include you, myself, if I decided I wanted to take it.
Yes, absolutely. I am the director of the New England Institute for Teacher Education, but I have been a principal in my prior life and an art teacher as well and arts administrator. So in bringing all of that together and in building the New England Institute, we were really committed. My husband and I were committed to creating quality professional development for teachers all over Maine, primarily, and now New England. But as part of that, I also do consultation work with organizations like the Maine Arts Commission and schools. And I'm very committed to arts education because that's my passion, my field. And I've seen so many ways in which the arts have turned children around and have made their lives doable and even giving them opportunities to thrive. And so I've always felt that the arts have been undervalued in our culture even. So my mission is sort of to help turn that around, that whole notion that the arts are fringe or not essential. They are absolutely essential to being fully human beings who are well-educated, and the research is indisputable about that. So I am working on this project through the Census Project, through being the coordinator of the teacher leader ambassadors that are out there. And I can talk more about that at some point later.
You're taking a census and going to use this information to make change. So what we need to do is approach the change agents, as the saying goes, the people who make change happen. Where does that reside?
Well, I think in the schools, the change really needs to happen at the principal level, which is one of the reasons why we're going through the principals, so that they're, like Argie said, so that they're more aware that this is happening and that arts education is incredibly important. So that's one of the places. But then, you know, at the state level, there's always things happening that the state suggests can happen. And I think as far as the Arts Commission is concerned, we can also add programs and change our programs and adapt our programs to help make arts education stronger in schools. So that's why we've kind of held our arts learning grants the same for the last few years, waiting to complete this.
I see.
To really get the information from the census so that we can then maybe guide some of our programs this way or that way. Like I said, conduct arts education planning is something that I'd really like to see happen, not only in schools that are maybe lacking arts education, but also schools that have strong arts education and want to take it to the next level. So our role really is to help support the change, not necessarily be the change. And it has to come from the local level.
Well, that, boy, talk about a segue. It seems to me that there's a number of folks in various positions, school boards, whatever it might be. The principal's got to report to the school board. The school board's made up of, at least in part, by parents. Parents come with varying degrees of understanding of the arts. Is it going to be the role of the Maine Arts Commission to go out there and educate every one of these components? And how are you going to do this?
That's so interesting that you say that, because one of the things that we're finding through the census program, the consultant that we're working with has really encouraged us to go through the PTAs, too.
Yes, of course.
So, yeah. You know, it's all of the above and maybe none of the above. It just depends. And so
depends on what?
It depends on who wants us to help them. You know, that's part of it. And we're not going to force ourselves on any school district, but at least we'll be aware of who's doing what, and we can help if we need to. If they want us to help, we
but
can.
But where's
help.
The cart and the horse? I mean, if someone says, this doesn't matter to me, are you stuck?
Good question. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean,
what do you guys think?
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking when you ask that question, I think about the multiple avenues and approaches that we have in place. This past summer, Catherine and I and a team from the Maine Arts Leadership Initiative were in Washington, D.C. for the Teach to Lead Summit. And we were sitting around a table talking about how do we move forward and make a difference. And I've been in education almost 40 years.
A number of years. Okay.
Good. Right. 100 years, as I like to say. And a young teacher was with us, and I said, we are having the same conversations
that we've had since I started in education all those years ago. I think we need to change the conversation at the student level. And this young teacher was from Aroostook County, St. Agat, and she went back to her school. She teaches K-12, and she created a group called SLAM, Student Leaders in the Arts Movement. And those students are making a difference at the local level, and they've created a video that we're using as part of the census. And they get it, and they're communicating what they understand. And often, adults listen to students before they'll listen to other mm-hmm. adults. And so they've put together a video that we use as part of the census, and that's online and accessible to people. And so I think it takes those students. Noel Paul Stuckey is a champion for our census work. Many people are familiar with Noel and have had his music in their hearts and souls for years and years. And so some people are listening to that and connecting with the census. So I think it's multiple avenues, and we never know when it's going to hook somebody.
And there's another piece of this that I have not talked about. And the idea also is that once we have all of this information, we'll also use that and leverage that to get more funding. And the funding can actually be an incentive for those districts and schools that might not necessarily be inclined. And that's one of the objectives of this as well. So if we can increase our investment, then that will provide leverage so that if people may not be so inclined to do this, if they don't think it's valuable, maybe they'll take a second look, because we've seen that that has been the case in some of our other grant programs.
And at the basic level, we do have in legislation supports this as well, because arts education, visual and performing arts education, are part of the main learning mm-hmm. results parameters for essential instruction. So it is a requirement in the state of Maine that VPA, visual and performing arts, are offered to students at this local level at each school.
I will be asking people to join in the conversation in about another 15, 20 minutes at our half-hour point, and I'll give out numbers then. But write down your questions if some questions have come to your mind. As we're talking about the arts and education in a new census taking that's going on through the initiative of the Maine Arts Commission, and I'm talking here with Julie Richard, who's the executive director of the Maine Arts Commission, R.G. Nestor, who's the director of arts education for the Maine Arts Commission. I'll get that. Catherine Ring, who is executive director of a really interesting program called New England Institute for Teacher Education, which, don't let the name mislead you. If there's something about education that you would like to know more about, take one of their courses. They're right on the web. It's a fascinating place. And while we're talking about fascinating things, I got to take a break here, because I got to read this, and this is going to be taken away from me soon. So I'll do it here. Now, anyone who calls during our breaks here for Pledge Week, which you know is going on, and it's during the news and public affairs. If you call in during that, which is 10 to 11 in the morning or 4 to 6 in the afternoon, we'll put your name in a drawing that will take place now Friday at 5 for a fascinating book. And when I read the title, raise your hand if someone comes to mind. I'll count the hands. Dark Money, this is the title. Dark Money, the Hidden History of the Billionaires Behind the Rise of the Radical Right. Raise your hands. Oh, see, there's a ton of people out there. New York Sunday Times, New York Times Sunday edition said that this is a really well-reported, documented book. Bookstacks in Bucksport has generously donated the book. And you don't have to make a pledge, although we'll twist your arm a little. But just call the pledge line and your name will be put in the drawing, which happens on Friday at 5 p.m. Okay, back to arts and education. Julie, you have a five-step plan that kind of is the parent of all of this. Could you quickly go over that for us?
Sure. The cultural plan that I just mentioned a little while ago is really our guide for the next 5 years. And our goal is to achieve as much of the plan as we can by the bicentennial in 2020. So that's our end game. But the five key elements of the cultural plan are capacity building for artists and arts organizations in the state, awareness building, so to increase awareness overall of the arts in the state and beyond, arts education, of course, increasing PK-12 arts education and lifelong learning opportunities, enabling and encouraging cultural tourism in the state. That's our fourth priority. And the fifth priority is investment, to actually increase the investment for the Arts Commission itself to be able to do what we need to do. So basically increasing funding. And we're well on our way in that area. We have put two bills in this second session.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Good
things have happened.
Yeah, it's been remarkable. We were fortunate to get a lead sponsor in Michael McClellan. He's a representative from Raymond, and he was our lead sponsor. We had some terrific co-sponsors on the bill as well, and are the bills, I should say. And there were two bills. One was to change our statute language to be able to hold an endowment outside of the state treasury. We've actually had the ability to create a state arts endowment for years, but it just wasn't pursued. And the suspicion is that most likely was because it would be held in the state treasury. And not that there's anything wrong with the state treasury. They invest very conservatively. That's the state treasurer's own words. And most people would just not be likely to write a large check to the state treasury to be held in endowment. So this allows us to administer our own endowment outside of the state treasury. And the other bill is to create a 501c3 support organization that we're calling Arts Engage Me. And that will actually act as our advocacy arm, as well as be that fundraising arm, that endowment arm. And it'll also allow us to go after unique grants that organizations around Maine wouldn't be able to attract on their own. So, for instance, the funding for the census project was a grant. We really got the funding for this from a program called Jane's Trust out of Massachusetts. And you have to be a 501c3 in order to get funding from Jane's Trust. So we had to go through a fiscal agent, and the Maine Development Foundation acted as our fiscal agent, but they also take a fiscal agent fee. And then when we move the money from that fiscal agent into the state, they take something called stay cap on top of it. So, you know, we're already like down about $8,000 before we've even started. And so by having this 501c3, we can actually get grants like that and run the program through the 501c3 to avoid those fees and allow us to do statewide programs and initiatives that are funded from outside sources.
Catherine, how do you've explained a little bit, but if you could give us a little more insight as to how you fit into this census generation.
Yeah, I was hired by the Maine Arts Commission to be the project manager of the census, but in particular to work with the boots on the ground, so to speak. We have a cadre of arts educators, music, dance, theater, and visual art, who actually work in schools around the state of Maine, who have applied to be the teacher leader ambassadors for this project. So we have 15 of them all over the state of Maine. And
could you just define that term, teacher leader ambassadors?
Yeah.
What does that mean? What's the function there?
Okay, so these are people who already work. They're certified arts educators. They may be an art teacher or a music teacher, right, in the schools already. We have brought them together in another kind of initiative called the Maine the Maine Arts Leadership Initiative. We've changed our name a little bit recently.
I hate that when the people do
that. But it's a very unique initiative, unlike anything else in the country. Mm-hmm. And it's because we recognize that Maine is a very rural state, and often schools are, they may have one art teacher in their entire building, and so they work in isolation mostly. And by bringing them together as a group in Maine, it has sort of exploded into this wonderful opportunity to share resources and to get to know each other and network and to grow and improve. It's had a major impact on arts education statewide. So from that group, we've asked for people who wanted to be teacher leader ambassadors for the Census Project to apply, and their job would be to follow up on the schools that are not responding so they could call people they know, or they could call directly the principal. It's kind of a tricky, subtle kind of a job, because we don't want to harass people into filling out a survey, but we do want to educate them about how important it is that we get really good data. It's going to help us so much in making plans going forward. And it doesn't take a lot of time. It only takes about 15 minutes to actually fill out the survey. And we make it as easy as possible. So we gather the teacher leader ambassadors by way of video conferencing.
I see.
Last night, for example, we had a meeting online with 16 of us talking and sort of figuring out what is working and what isn't working, what are some of our challenges. And they're all very excited about this. It's really remarkable, because it is a census, after all, and most people don't get excited about a census, a survey.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the results that we all know are so important, that what we can do with it is going to make a big difference. And there will be a big difference between 2009, when we had 36% of people responding, and our goal is to get every single school to respond with information that will help. So getting 100% alone, we're committed to that. We're already at 61% as of today, and we are getting great results, and I think it's going to have a major impact on
this,
the state.
This sounds very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell the excitement in your voice around it. There's something also that's very exciting here at WERU Community Radio, and that's we're in the middle of a pledge drive. And I'm sorry, Catherine, for connecting your efforts with our pledge drive, but it seemed the best segue I could do at the moment. So I'm going to turn over the controls here to my engineer, Amy Brown, who's also our public affairs director, and she'll be telling you, along with our guest, why it's important to give to this absolutely magnificent voice of the people.
1-800-643-6273. I'm Amy Brown here with John Greenman.
Hi,
thanks,
Amy.
For joining me, John.
Hey, this is just such great information to get from a group of people in the other studio. The whole world of arts education is so important, and we're learning a lot in a very short period of time.
Yeah. I just looked back over some of the topics that Michael Donahue has covered on Maine Arts Alive in the last few months, and we're going to share some of those with you in hopes that this will motivate you to go to your phone and demonstrate that this kind of programming is important to the community by making a pledge at 1-800-643-6273. Today they're talking about statewide arts education. The last program that we have in our archives from them just last month is, and you can listen to it there if you missed it, is The Pricing Dilemma: How Much Is Your Work Worth?
Yeah, an artist. How do you set your prices? I remember hearing that. How do you set the price for what you do? Do you factor in mileage? Do you factor in the time you spent? Which, you know, okay, yeah, it's like 5 cents an hour then. Because it, I mean, and that was fascinating. The month before, promoting Maine arts and artists. I mean, there are so many dimensions to the world of art in Maine and all over, of course. National Arts Education Week, September 13th through the 19th. Waterfall Arts, a number of subjects is vast.
Yeah, Maine Media Workshops, the Grand Down East Maine Playwrights Festival. So a lot of organizations, a lot of different artists are getting a voice, getting a place to come on the air and talk about the work that they're doing, which is really important. If you want to support them, support this opportunity for non-commercial radio to bring people from our community on the air and inform you about their work, give us a call and make a pledge. The number is 1-800-643-6273. Oh, and you want to tell them about the book, John?
Actually, before I do that, because I want to give another impetus for people to call, Willie from Canaan has already called. Willie from Canaan is a renewal, and maybe some of you are lapsed members or would like to maybe give a little bit more. But however you do it, the idea is to do it now. 1-800-643-6273. And if you do, we'll be able to put your name in the watering can for a book that will take place. Let's see, this is going to be...
We're going to do that drawing at 5 o'clock on Friday.
Oh, that's right.
But it's for everyone who calls in during the public affairs blocks this week, the 10 to 11 weekday mornings, and then the 4 to 6 in the weekday evenings.
But this book, a brand new book by Jane Meyer called Dark Money, The Hidden History of the Billionaires Behind the Rise of the Radical Right. This should be fascinating. It's a brand new. New York Times says, emerges as an impressively reported and well-documented work. So it's available, and thanks very much to supporter Bookstacks for generously donating this book.
Yes, thanks, Bookstacks.
No pledge is necessary. That's the really neat part. All you got to do is just get online, give us a call, and say you want to be entered into the drawing. 1-800-643-6273. You can do that right now. That's called Dark Money.
Right. And it's really important to support local news and public affairs programs here at WERU. The amount of time and effort that goes into putting one of these programs together, the time goes way beyond the hour that these volunteers are on the air once a month. So please show your support. And we're going to hand the reins back over to Michael Donahue from Maine Arts Alive. But give us a call.
1-800-643-6273.
Yeah, and we definitely would love to hear from some new members as well. So we have a goal for 100 new members during this break. We are only at 11. So if we could get a new member in the next half hour, that would be great as well. 1-800-643-6273. Thank you.
Fascinating part of all of this is...
Did you switch up above?
The fascinating part of all of this is simply that community radio stands out in a very unique way, especially in the state, especially in this area. There's more folks I talk to who pick up their news as well as their enjoyment of music from this seemingly small station, but it covers so much territory and so many kinds of information and music. It's truly an honor to be a host here on WERU. All right, just while we come back to our folks, our topic being arts education and this new census being conducted by the Maine Arts Commission, I just wanted to remind you that Richard Kane, who's got to be one of the best self-publicists I've ever come across, but I tell you, the stuff he does is worth noting. His Maine Short Film Festival is going on, and it's playing all over the state and through April. And it's 14 films selected this year, and they're fascinating films. So I point that out to you. And the Maine Blue Hill Concert Association is doing the Benowitz Quartet this Sunday, March 6th at 3 p.m., at the Blue Hill Congregational Church. And you can get information on that by going to their website, bluehillconcertassociation.org. And that leads me back to Catherine, who we broke away from there for a moment. And I'd like to know a little more about this, the New England Institute for Teacher Education, what you do. Before I ask that, I want to remind everyone, I want to open the phones. So if you have a question, if you want to join in the conversation, here's the phone numbers. It's 469-0500. Again, 1-866-469-0500. For those of you that like 800 numbers, here you go, 1-866-625-9378. And these are call-in, not to pledge, although you certainly can, but these are call-in to join the conversation. And Catherine, what does your institute offer to educators and others? Oh, okay, we got somebody on the phone. So hold that deep breath. Let's get that phone. Hello, your name, please, and where you're calling from.
This is Melody Lewis-Kane from Sedgwick.
Ah, okay.
Hi, Melody. I don't know if you know Michael, but Melody is an art teacher, so married to Richard Kane. Here we go.
I know her well. Go ahead, Melody.
Anyway, talking about resources for teachers and teacher training, as with RG, I've been in the art education field for over 40 years. Teacher resources for teachers are so important because they're so hard to come by. And I just wanted to point out that in lieu of the films that Dick and I do together, besides my work in the schools, our film on Stephen Pace has an online curriculum guide for high school art teachers. And every high school in this state has that film. They were given it. And it would be great if through a teacher leadership or institute that information could be gotten out better. And we are just finishing up a film on Ashley Bryan, on Little Cranberry, and we will be putting together a curriculum guide for that. So this is the real way that high school art teachers can use this, and they'll get it free. I mean, every high school will get a copy of the film, and the online curriculum guide will be absolutely free. Having been an art teacher myself, I know how many times I've bought art supplies myself. And again, it is, let's get good art teachers into schools, let's convince those principals. And I think a way of helping convince the populace, the people on the school board, get parent volunteers in the art room helping mm-hmm. and seeing the joy that those kids exhibit.
Melody, thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. It comes to mind that the one group that we haven't talked about, and Catherine, I do want to come back to my question to you, so I'm not going away. The one group we haven't talked about are the kids. Mm. I mean, if anybody sells something, it's watching children enjoy what they're doing. And at the hands of a good art teacher, that enjoyment is usually pretty euphoric. I'll be curious to see if we go anywhere with that thought. But Catherine, I think your New England Institute for Teacher Education is a fascinating organization with a ton. I mean, you have a course on bullying in the classroom, mm-hmm. which I think is fascinating.
Yeah, the Institute was formed in 2011, and it was post my being an administrator in public schools. I felt that we really needed to develop some quality professional development for teachers and offer them and hire practicing educators right here in Maine to teach them. So these are people that are in the school who get it. And they're not, you know, higher ed sort of disconnected professors, but they're actually in the schools. And we develop syllabi together. We have an academic partnership with Burlington College, which is NEASC accredited. We offer the courses for graduate level or undergraduate level or for 4.5 CEUs, which is a way for teachers to get recertified. That being said, we offer online courses as well as in-person, you know, small cohorts of people who get together. It's really a wonderful way for teachers to get what they need. We do have courses on anything from working with children with autism to how Brains on Fire, an integrated arts course, to bullying prevention and intervention, as you mentioned.
I don't know why that came to mind.
Well, yeah. but it's a perennial issue, and I think that we always need to keep re-looking at can we do to make this a peaceful climate in our school? And it really is about a village working together to make a climate that feels safe for kids and really addresses the issues that are there all the time and that surface up. But there are many different kinds of courses, and that's a part of, you know, what we do. But my other role in the New England Institute is, as I said, a consultant to various organizations like the Maine Arts Commission.
Gotcha.
So here we are on talking about the census.
You mentioned, and I love this title, Brains on Fire, Rekindling Imagination in the Classroom. And again, that draws me to, I didn't come with this thought. It has dawned on me as we talk that kindling imagination, if a child comes home and says, I did something neat in the classroom, isn't that worth, 16 people yelling at a principal? But I would imagine more difficult. Again, Julie, when it's all said and done, can you wrap this in terms of what it is that you want to achieve when it's all said and done?
Basically, we want to strengthen and improve arts education in our schools. You know, we're, as RG said before, when we were talking, we've already got a strong baseline in Maine. We're very fortunate here in Maine, really, that we overall have very strong arts education programs across the state, but there are some that have less. And so this is to help us get better and improve. And like you said before, I mean, this is about the kids. And I can't tell you the number of young people, even adults, you know, who were involved in the arts in the schools and have said that the arts saved their lives. The arts kept them in school. If they didn't have that music program to be involved in, or that visual art program to be involved in, or that theater program to be involved in, they might not have made it through school. That's what kept them there. And, I'm one of those people. I was always a good student, but I would have been bored out of my skull in school if I didn't have music every day. And I did. And so it's, you know, that's what this is about. And there are so many studies, you know, and they go back now 15 years, so many studies that have shown that kids who are exposed to arts education in the schools have higher student achievement. And that's just a fact. And nobody can really dispute that at this point, because there just have been so many studies that have proven that. So this is about the kids. You know, this is about giving our kids the best possible education, and also making sure that the leaders in our schools, the principals and superintendents and teachers even, understand that the arts are essential and they're an essential part of a student's education for them to really be a whole child. We want our kids to be able to have the critical thinking skills and the intellectual ability to get on their feet and stand on their feet and adapt to different situations. And the arts do that for our kids.
I want to step back here just for a moment and take a look at the Maine Arts Commission and what it is. It seems to me through certainly its initial years, even as its teenage years and growing into maturity, it was somewhat isolated in that it was artists working with artists, and it was an extraordinarily valuable asset to all of the arts organizations and individual artists. As I listen to what you're saying, it seems to me that the agenda, so to speak, is growing more outside of that very small community.
That's true, and the reason why is because if we don't have arts education in our schools, we're not going to have the artists and the arts organizations of tomorrow. We're not going to have the audiences of tomorrow. So I've said this before, that I really see this five-year plan is going back to our foundations. We really need to strengthen the foundations in our state, including arts education, including our organizations, make them stronger, get back to the basics, put in place those things that have not existed and really should. And so that's what this is about, because we need to ensure that our kids have that type of bedrock education so that they can be the artists and the audiences and the supporters of the arts in the future.
Archie, this sounds like a big job for you.
Well, part of my role certainly is arts education, but it is connecting also with artists, teaching artists. We now have a teaching artist roster, which is reestablished from years gone by at the Maine Arts Commission. We have almost 50 teaching artists on that roster. We're connecting with arts organizations. I post to a blog every day at meartsed@wordpress.com, and I'm helping arts organizations and artists tell their stories. So it is ongoing, my role as Director of Arts Education at the Commission. I am also collaborating with the Department of Education on a lot of the work we do. Beth Lambert is the Visual and Performing Arts Specialist there, and the department, along with other organizations, are partnering with us on the census. We have the Maine Principals Association as a partner, Maine Alliance for Arts Education, Maine Art Education Association, Maine Music Education Association, and also NEI, Catherine's organization, as partners on the census. So it's not a job that one person does. I'm all about collaboration. I firmly believe that none of us is as smart as all of us. I'm always reaching out to connect with others to move arts education forward. And as Julie said, providing quality programs for all kids and access to those programs.
Has your role and the Maine Arts Commission become the center for all of this? Is this... It's you name there half a dozen or more organizations who are probably all going in their own direction.
I would say that everyone has an interest and they've been invited to the table, and we work collaboratively on what is at the heart, and you know, at that art education piece. Yes.
Well, this is an extraordinarily ambitious project that you have. I mean, we're talking about potentially, at its height, revolutionizing or revolutionary changes in the way in which arts is brought into the schools, but also the mindsets of principals, teachers, parents, school boards. And my first reaction is, with all these disparate groups working on it, how are you going to pull all of this together? Is the Maine Arts Commission got that kind of strength?
Boy, I hope so. We're certainly building to that, I hope.
Nothing is so contagious as enthusiasm.
That's exactly right. And passion, you know. And we've been told time and time again over the course of the past year, you've got a lot of passion. And it's true, you know. Our staff is terrific, and I'm not the only one that's got the passion for what we're doing, and all of us are working together to try to improve the arts and strengthen the arts in our state. And like I said before, we've got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of meat in this cultural plan, and we're all committed to making that happen. And, you know, I think that everybody believes in it, and the arts are so incredibly entwined in everything in Maine. People have said to me, well, there's really... In fact, I was just talking to a friend yesterday who's from Boston and lived in D.C. for years, and she was saying, well, there's really nothing that exists outside of Portland, right? And I said, absolutely not. The arts are everywhere.
I hope not, anyway.
The arts are everywhere in this state. You know, there's artists in every nook and cranny in Maine, and they're professionals, you know. They're making a living doing what they're doing, and there are incredible programs in every nook and cranny in the state, and it's remarkable. I don't think I've ever been in a place quite like Maine when it comes to how the arts are embedded in our culture and our lives.
I think that's unique and a good topic for a conversation. If you want to join in this conversation, you still have another 10, 12 minutes or so here, 469-0500, again, 469-0500, or 800-866-625-9378. And that's to join in the conversation. I got a note a few moments ago that Stephen from Lincolnville has renewed his membership. That's the kind of work I love to see, Stephen. Thank you very much. And I wonder if how you've been affected by the arts over time. Okay, I want to return to Argy. I am to a certain degree overwhelmed by the commitment, but by the how you're going to bring all of this together. And I don't mean to keep harping on this, but so often I have seen wonderful agendas like this go amiss because everyone refuses to give up turf. And it just strikes me from everything you've said, and I'm seeing the energy and I'm hearing the enthusiasm, that can we get from here to there?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's easy to look at our history in Maine, and having been a middle school art teacher for 30 years before I moved to a state position, I know what was happening in the classroom, and I have a lot of faith and trust in commitment at the local levels across the state, because I was I was the feet on the ground for so many years, and I was fortunate to be part of a school district that was fully committed to arts education and could see a difference that each of those art educators, music educators, as well as administrators making. So when I take that little tiny place where I was and think about it statewide, and knowing what's happened during the last 5 years in the Maine Arts Leadership Initiative, there's no doubt in my mind that it's going to happen. But it does take the village. Everybody has will have to have a part and a commitment in it. And I believe that we're moving, continually moving baby steps in that direction. I mean, to think that we have 341 schools that have responded to the survey at 61%, that's a really great. And I feel like we're going to make that 100%.
I will have you on when the day that you reach that goal. You guys are coming back. We've got someone on the line. Caller, if you give your name, where you're calling from, please.
Yeah, this is Jim from Burnham, and I'm having a creative day in my shop, and I'm joining the show. And it was just mentioned a couple of minutes ago how many talented craftspeople and artists there are in the state. I fully agree. It's just constantly amazing to run across people and see the work they're doing. But I would also say it's very much behind the scenes, and I would challenge the Maine Arts Commission to put forward some kind of means to get more public art, so it doesn't have to be attended, but it gets run into on your travels. I could drive for 3 hours here and probably not see a single piece of public art from a variety of roads in different directions. So I just wonder if that's a possibility to create more public art that is out and about, that people happen upon and enjoy. I think as a culture, we think of art as not belonging to the masses anymore. It belongs to the elite, and I would like to bring it back to the masses on a daily basis.
Interesting subject, Jim. Thanks.
I'll listen for the answer. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for your call. Go ahead.
I completely agree. In one of those, most people know that we have a statewide Percent for Art program where all government or all state-sponsored building and some renovations are required to dedicate a certain amount of those buildings to the creation and installation of public art. That said, we shouldn't be the only ones doing that. And I've been preaching this around the state as I've been traveling around the state. Individual towns and cities can have their own public art ordinances. And it doesn't have to be associated with building. I helped create several public art ordinances when I was in Arizona, and these young communities that were popping up around our region, and they can just be tied to the general fund, but the city has got to be committed to that. Or, for instance, the local arts council or the organization that acts as the local arts council to be committed to providing the funding for public art. It's got to be multiple leveled, and I'm a firm believer in public art. I think public art. I agree with everything that Jim said. it really does create help create an even more rich environment that we've got, and it does make art more out in the open and less hidden. That's for sure.
We've got another caller. Your name and where you're calling from, and just a reminder, we've got to be a little quick. We're coming towards the end of the show.
Michael, this is Melody again about art.
Yeah.
The Skudik Art Symposium, the Skudik Sculpture Symposium.
Yes.
There are public art sculptures in villages and towns all the way from Blue Hill, Deer Isle, and up the Skudik Peninsula. So tell your caller to take a wonderful drive.
Thank you.
Bye.
When I mentioned how good Richard is at promoting, I should always connect your name with that as well. You guys you're right on top of it. And boy, promotion, so many artists are wonderful in their studio, but you get them outside the studio and it comes to a screeching halt. We've only got a few moments left, so I'd like to take those moments to make sure, one, that people know how to get in touch with you, and two, what people can do to help the people that are listening to the call. So in the next 2-3 minutes, can we summarize? Julie, let's start with you.
Well, our website is www.mainearts.com or mainearts.gov, and they can get the links to everything that we do, including the census, on our website. And what was the other question?
Briefly, in 25 words or less, how people listening to the show
can
help.
They help? Yes. Contact your principal and get them to fill out the survey. We actually have the list of schools that have already completed the survey on our website, so you can go on the website and check first. But if you have a connection to your principal, absolutely encourage them to fill out the survey. That is probably the most important thing that they can do.
Great. Argy?
They could go also to the blog that I post to every day, meartsed@wordpress.com, and there's a blog post today with information and bullet points on how they can get involved.
And again, that site?
It's meartsed@wordpress.com, and my contact information is on that blog as well, and they could always email me there.
Catherine.
Yes, I would say find out where your school district stands with arts education. You may not know that, and just having a conversation. And stay tuned for the report that comes out from the Maine Arts Commission so you can kind of be involved in the next steps for your school and community. So that's what I would recommend.
All right, great. We also have a site, mainartsalive.com. That will have information on it, follow-up information from our conversation. And I encourage you to take a look at that. Our next show next month will be around writers and writing, and should be most interesting show. I want to thank Amy Brown, my engineer, and I want to thank Walter Gaffney Kessel for creating the wonderful music that you hear playing under me because they're trying to push me out. So take care, all. Have a great day.